Friends, in today's video, we will be exploring something that I have been thinking about for a long time. I know the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. At Mass today, I was thinking, you know, I need to make this video. And then my wife after Mass was saying, yeah, I was thinking in Mass that I needed to encourage you to record another video. So in today's video, we will be exploring and taking a contemplative look at the Our Father. Join me in today's video. Friends, let's pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I think appropriately, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, this is the channel Uniquely Mary. My name is Alvaro, and it is a joy to be here with you. So in thinking about kind of the inspiration for this video, that I felt like God put it on my heart at Mass, and my wife as well, and I was thinking about motivation. So, you know, when I first started this channel, my motivation was to get to 1,000 subscribers. And then when I got to 1,000 subscribers, I thought, let's get to 2,000. And then I got to 2,000, and I thought, hey, how about 3,000? Then I got there. And then after that, you know, I'm not a very ambitious person. So I kind of lost motivation because I thought, well, I've achieved all my goals. Do I need to make a lot more videos? And then I realized that there was a deeper motivation that needed to be there. And it wasn't just reaching these goals, because maybe you have other YouTubers that want to reach 1 million. And then that kind of motivates them to make more and more videos. But as you know, it takes work to do these videos, not just the time recording, but the time editing it, often 1 to 2 to 3 or 4 days. So you have to have a deeper motivation than just some exterior thing. And as I was reflecting on that, there's two things there. Part of it is God's call to me, God asking me to share my faith with you. And connected with that is the fact that even though I don't know you, I may never even meet you, but I love you, and I want to share the thing that I love most, which is my faith. And I share this with you as an encouragement for you in your own life, that maybe you're doing different things in your life, parenting, working, this or that, or whatever it is, and whatever was your initial motivation isn't good enough anymore, and you have to find a deeper motivation. Why are you doing it? And I hope that in that you find God's call and love to be something central. So I just wanted to share with you that I no longer have any motivation to make videos so that I can get more subscribers. I'm more than happy with how many I have and whatever it is that I attained. But I do it because God is calling me and because I love you. And probably even more importantly, because He loves you much more than I do. A little background to this video. I love taking a look at the media and the movies that are made and the stories that are told, and to try to see how can we find God in those movies. Because, you know, as creatures of God, we always image Him, even when we're trying not to. And I want to repeat that. As creatures of God, we image Him even if we don't want to, and even when we distort this image of God that is built into us in what we think about, talk about, sing about, act, live out, somehow we end up imaging God in the most unexpected ways. And this is often very true in the movies that we create. In these stories that we tell, we can't help but somehow mirror the truth that was first found in God. Now, one of my favorite genre movies is superhero movies, so you can probably imagine what I'm about to say. I love the Marvel movies. And there is this idea in one of the movies that I thought, wow, there's something in that that makes me think of something else. So in the Marvel movies, kind of this underlying theme connecting all of the 20 or so movies that are there, are these infinity stones. And the kind of the myth in the movies is that there's these six stones and they each sort of have the power through from which the universe was created. They were kind of like at the beginning. These six infinity stones, each of them holds a different power. And in these different movies, you have these different creatures and different enemies that are trying to obtain these stones for their own purposes, to destroy the world, etc. And so at one of the concluding movies, in the Marvel Avenger movies, one of the concluding characters decides that he wants to get all six, but he needs an instrument, a glove, to wield them so that he can hold all six of them, so to speak, on his hand and use that power to do what it is that he wants. So he calls that glove a gauntlet. And he does what no other creature has the power to do, to wield those stones all at once, not just one at a time, but all at once. And when I thought that, I kept thinking about that. And I thought about it and I was like, man, what am I seeing in that kind of myth? What's there? And it came to me, the Our Father. So this character, these six stones, each kind of holds some aspect of reality, time or reality or mind or space. And I don't know what the other four are. There's bigger Marvel nerds out there than me, but each of them hold this really important essence of reality, and to wield them is to almost be godlike. I want to now connect that to how we can have this image to help us understand the Our Father in a totally different way. So first of all, one of the original powers that God has is the power to speak and it happens. It's one of the very first things that we see in creation in Genesis. God says something and it happens. So one of the divine powers is to speak and have it be created. Now, let me suggest to you that when we were created originally as Adam and Eve, we somehow shared in this power to speak and have things created, although on a smaller scale. Now, when we committed original sin, Adam and Eve, and us kind of by connection to them, we lost that power. We lost that divine power. So we stopped being, in this sense, children of God, because a child can do what the Father can do. Do you see where I'm going with this? So Jesus comes to re-give us the power of children. Because when you're a child of God, you're not just, oh, this cute little Hallmark idea, I'm a child of God, ha ha ha. No. When you're a child of God, you get certain benefits. One of them is you image God and you also share in his powers and you share in some of those family privileges, so to speak. So Jesus, when he teaches us the Our Father, he intends so much more than what we think of it. He is literally giving us these seven words that we can speak to bring into being what is being spoken. Now, maybe you've never thought of it like this, but I want you to be wild with me for a while. So Jesus wants us to have the power to speak and have it happen, but he doesn't just want us to speak anything. He wants to give us very specific words with which he will give us the authority to wield. Think about this idea and then look at the Our Father. One of the first things we need to think about is there's a lot of things that are not said. For instance, when we pray the Our Father, we never say please. There's never this sense of please. In fact, the seven petitions, seem almost like commands. And that's one thing that really struck me. We're not saying, please, may your will be done, but we say, thy will be done. We're saying it in a command as an imperative, almost forcefully, give us this day our daily bread. Not just, because Jesus could have said, please, would you mind passing down a loaf from heaven? No, give us this day our daily bread. So there's this intense forcefulness with each of those words. Now, let me suggest to you that those seven petitions are like seven stones with which we can wield to make them happen. The first one is the name stone, hallowed be thy name. The second stone would be the kingdom stone, thy kingdom come. The third stone is the will stone, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then comes the bread stone, give us this day our daily bread. Then the forgiveness stone, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Then the sixth one is the temptation stone, lead us not into temptation. And the seventh stone is the deliverance stone, but deliver us from evil. So those seven stones are packed with power. Now, use the image of that I was using, that there's these six stones in this one myth, and then he has an instrument to wield it, that gauntlet. How can we wield these stones? The key is in the first words of the prayer, our Father. When Jesus gives us the authority to speak those words, it's like a glove that we wear to be able to say, our Father. And on that glove, on that gauntlet, so to speak, we can put those seven stones, each of which have a different effect and a different power. Now, one of the things that we should ask is, who is this prayer being spoken to? Whenever we pray a prayer, we should ask, who is this being directed to? Note, it is not being directed to the Holy Spirit. And strangely enough, it's not being directed to Jesus. Because Jesus, don't you think that's weird? Jesus could have said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to pray. My beloved Jesus, please give me this, blah, 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 blah. And he doesn't do that. He teaches us that prayer. It's directed to the Father, but not quite. And I want to speak about that because I want you to think about and ask this question, who is this prayer being spoken to? Now, first of all, when we speak those words, our Father, we have to ask, who is the our? Now, I heard this from a talk one time. It was just amazing. When we say our Father, who is the our? Who is the other person that we're sharing this Father with? Now, everyone cheesily always says, oh, it's everyone else. Hug everybody. Kiss, kiss, kiss. No. But that's not true. Because when Jesus says our Father, he's not your Father. He's not my Father. I'm not giving you permission to share my Father. It's Jesus who is the other person. He's the one that's allowing us to say our. So he's literally letting us borrow his Father so that we can say our. So when we are saying our, the other person is Jesus Christ. So when you say our Father, remember, you are getting to share in his Father, not everyone else's. We are getting to share in his Father. And that gives us that glove with which we can wield the next seven stones. Now, let me suggest to you that they're broken up into two different groups, the first three and the last four. Who are the first three stones being directed to? The first three petitions. Now, let me suggest to you that they are not being directed to the Father. Because everyone always wonders, gosh, why do we speak out to God the Father, hallowed be thy name? And people kind of wonder, that seems kind of strange. Why would we ask God to make his name hallowed? Have you ever thought that that's strange? That is strange, because you know why? Because that's not what we're doing. We're actually, with those first three petitions, speaking as ambassadors of God the Father, and we're speaking it out into the world to have those three things happen. Now, you probably never thought of it like this, so you're not even understanding what I'm saying, but please follow with me and open up your mind to think a little bit differently. We are going out into the world and speaking what we want to happen. So now hear it like this. We're going out into the world and we want God's name to be hallowed. How do we get that to happen? By saying, hallowed be thy name. We are speaking that onto other people. We are speaking that into situations. We are speaking that into the very creation. We are creating holiness, reverence of his name unto others. It doesn't need to be sent to heaven. His name is already hallowed there. It isn't being sent to God the Father. It's being sent outward, almost like as a weapon. Hallowed be thy name. And when you pray that intensely, you are making his name be hallowed out there, not up there. Get that? Isn't that awesome? Does that make so much more sense? And then the next two are the exact same thing. You're not asking God to have his kingdom happen. You are filled with the power to make happen what you say, and you are speaking out into a world where his kingdom isn't, and you are saying, thy kingdom, come. Come here, come here, come here. And you are with power, projectile, like sending a missile of his kingdom, sending like a kingdom bomb out into the world so that it can explode and land there. The same with his will. Because it's kind of weird to ask God, thy will be done. No, we're not praying it to him. We're praying it out there as his ambassadors who already want his will to happen. Thy will be done. So we are praying those first three things into situations, into our world. And the more we speak them, the more they will happen. Because we have the same power as God the Father, since we're his children, since we say our Father. Get it? So those first three are directed out into the world to change the world. So if you were ever in a situation where his kingdom isn't, what do? Say, thy kingdom come right here. And it will happen because you are his child. The next four are directed to God. And it makes sense. So first, think of these first three as like these three main weapons that we are sending out into the world. That his name be hallowed, that his kingdom come, that his will be done. And next we ask for a fourfold protection and providence from God. So this fourfold petition, these four last stones, asking God to shield us and provide for us everything that we need. The first one being our basic necessities. Give us this day our daily bread. And it is forceful what we're saying. Give us, not please, not pretty please with a cherry on top. Give us. Because as his children, we have been given the right by Jesus to demand. And when we say bread, yes, we mean bread. We mean the Eucharist, but we also mean everything that we need. Emotional needs, spiritual needs, love, attention, food, clothing, shelter, house, jobs, everything. Everything is included in bread. And I want you to think of that. So whenever you need a job, say, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, and say it with conviction. Give us this day our daily bread. And then the next one is for unity to be reestablished with everyone. So you are, again, petitioning that one to God the Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That very authority that Jesus has to call down forgiveness from heaven, he has given it to you. So where there is war, or unreconciliation, however you would phrase that. Sorry, I can't think of the word. Use that petition with power. Forgive us our trespasses. Call down God's forgiveness into that situation. And then the last two are very much, very much defensive. Whenever you are in a situation of temptation, use this massive shield that Jesus has given you. Lead us not into temptation. And some translations say, do not let us fall into temptation. It's a way to block temptation. It's a way to block sins people often struggle. If you're stuck in addictions, if you're stuck in sexual addictions, or all types of sins that are difficult to get rid of, this is your stone that you must wield and turn on and focus on. Our Father, lead us not into temptation. And then lastly, and this one is an atomic bomb on any type of evil, demonic or otherwise, you cannot be afraid because you have the deliverance stone. Deliver us from evil. And that stone is that petition is meant to take you out of any evil, take evil out of you, take evil out of your home, take evil out of your city, your state, your country. Now, one thing that I want you to know that you can focus on all of them and wield them all at once, which is very difficult, mind you, or you can focus one at a time, depending on the needs of your situation. My friends, this has been a long video, but it has been from the heart. And I want you to meditate on what I've been saying. Contemplate this deeper look at the Our Father. Wield these seven stones as a child of God with greater power for whatever are your needs. My friends, God bless you. Pray for me in this channel, and I'll see you in the next one.